why didn't I get to bid on that? And why didn't I get, that's just brokers or realtors. So we may have some realtors tomorrow saying, why can't I bid on this right to sell, so.
Can I give my two cents on that?
Absolutely.
I understand, Todd, don't.
No, this is my take. You are all far too busy, whether you're a board member or an employee that are here. You've got way too much. And we are in the business of education. My class, you know, I tell my kids, even though that I'm not their dad, I tell them a lot of times, I'm not raising, you know, wusses. You know, this is not, this class is not for just the, I mean, I've got some very quiet, shy kids, but you're either into construction, you're into what I call the dirty side of CT, or you're not. And that's totally fine. My daughter, oldest daughter is a perfect example. And then my youngest will be right there with me every step of the way. But, you know, sorry, I got off on a thing, but I even had a bus driver come to me this year and said, you know, I sell real estate on the side. I just am a bus driver for the insurance. And it was like a whole spiel. And I just flat out said, listen, I'm really sorry. Okay, got back to it. We're not in the business of selling homes. We have had with Nene has worked very well. Nene can sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves. She has been with us since Trojan 1, Trojan 2, and Trojan 3, she took zero commission. So I look at it, it's none of everyone else's business. And so I'll say that today because I know that we're not being videotaped, but it's none of anyone else's business. And I appreciate if someone is interested, and I say we will definitely keep you in mind if something were to ever change. But we don't sell and, you know, build and sell 20 houses a year. And I just look at it like if it's not broke, why fix it? We're all too busy.
Well, I think what you're saying is that, hey, I'd like to at least bid on the commission, because now, as you know, it used to be 6% for everybody. Of course, they've ruled that to be a monopoly. So they said, why can't I at least bid on it? And I says, I don't know.
I look at it, though, that if someone were to bid on it, and let's just say that they were to outbid Nene by $1,000, again, Nene did 1, 2.
Oh, I agree.
For zero. I mean,
I understand.
When you're talking 5 or 6%, and you're selling Trojan 1, we sold for $240,000. Trojan 2, we sold for $250,000. Trojan 3, we sold for $325,000. That is a lot of money that not just Nene did, and that is a lot of work that what she's done, but Al Barron's over there also waived his fee. Because every realtor, when they sell, it's not just what they can, but their office has to take $1,000 or whatever. And even Al said, nope, you are good. Part of that office, John Taft, does all of our appraisals for free. And all he wants in return is to be allowed into the sporting events for free. And here he is on the sidelines watching our Trojans on Friday nights. So when someone else does bid, I look at it like now is, I'm really sorry, but what we have is a great marriage, and I'm not looking to, I mean, someone could, you know.
And I mean, now, I mean, I think what they're looking at, I mean, they could benefit probably about $19,000 on the deal. That's what they're looking at.
If I may.
And some of them must graduate from this school and all that, so they complain, so just let you know.
No, trust me, I know.
You know.
I know.
I figured you'd probably get ahead with the same thing. I don't know.
So. I want to weigh in and support what you're saying. You don't know this about me, but I just let my realtor's license lapse about a year ago. But realtors truly, they don't make their living by bidding on things. They make it through really getting to know people over years, serving them, and relying on that repeat business. And I think that is to be rewarded. That is what they do. And I think any realtor who's truly been in the business would understand that.
So tomorrow night that'll be on there. Then you want to take a minute and talk about Trojan Build 6 and your thoughts with that, please.
Yep. Yeah, I'll try to be real quick so I can get you guys out of here. Trojan 6,
It wasn't titled, I just figured this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's not. You don't need to title it.
It came from Trojan, from the drive, I'm sorry.
You're perfectly fine.
So Trojan 6, I came to Leah a couple weeks ago. I wouldn't use the term I'm burnt out. I'm tired. And things are still great and all. It's just I'm getting real tired of doing a one-year house. To do a one-year house, when I started this, I kind of felt like I felt like I needed to prove it to many people. Some people at Monroe Public that doubted me, and some people from, especially one other business that I'll refrain from using. So it was almost like I wanted to do it just to say, I told you I can do it. I've done two stories in 1 year. I even finished the house during COVID by myself. So I've literally shown people I'll finish that house no matter what. Next year, we're gonna also, we have the 40 by 100 CT storage building. We will have Mr. Marchese's class participate, but these kids, I mean, if you were to, great kids, okay? We all had to start there, trust me. You should have seen me on my first day. But you can't ask these number one kids to build a 40 by 100. Marchese will be stark white like me after a year. So I'm gonna need my kids there to be there with that process to get that building at least up and at least weathered in by the end of next year, so that way whatever we put up isn't ruined from getting weathered throughout the summer and stuff like that. And I asked you, I said, I cannot do a one-year build and do a 40 by 100 building all in 1 year. I said, what I'd like to do is we're essentially gonna build Trojan 3 again. Trojan 3 was the most popular. People to this day still talk about it. Students that I have heard from other students that, you know, everybody talks about this house. I just can't. And so I've made the decision that we're gonna build that house again. We're on a different street, so it's not like someone coming down is gonna say, oh, this house was right next door. It will be different, few things. Efficiency and cost-wise change to save money and make it more efficient to build. But that way it'll give us time that we can be back at the high school to build that building. So in the first year, we'll obviously have the building will be up, roof will be on, windows will be in, so the house will be locked up. So that way we won't have people just roaming through the house. It will be a locked home. We will have power there, so that way we will have security through ring cameras and stuff to make sure that the house isn't, you know, all of a sudden we got squatters in an unfinished house. And then the following year, we'll come into the house and literally start from drywall and work our way through. The one really nice thing is it'll allow me to let all of the subs come in over the summertime. So that dance of having to tell all my subs, I promise we're gonna be ready by Thanksgiving, and really having to push the kids, you know, sometimes I was having to push them. I know it's sprinkling out and I know it's 30 degrees, but we have to finish this to stay on track to at least get these subcontractors to come in, and I won't have to do that. What it'll also allow us to do is, there's a few things that I can't do with the students because of some time constraints. One being concrete. I mean, everybody knows concrete, whether you pour it or not. You've only got so much time. And what it'll allow me to do is break things into smaller sections, like let's just say, like this house that we're doing. If I had the time, I would have poured the porch just with them. It's a 14 by 14. I could do it almost by myself, but it would allow me to do it with students. We would be able to then do the sidewalks the next day. You're talking 3 to 4 feet wide sidewalks. No problem. Again, I could do it by myself, but then I could do it with my students and let them work with it. And then the driveway, as long as it had broken into sections that you already have control joints in there, do it in small enough sections where the students can do it as well. It's a huge cost savings. Like I said, on this one, concrete prices, concrete guys, people that come in and work on the flat work, there's, it's a dying, I know it's a dying breed. I just mean that there's less and less of them each year. There's always going to be guys out there that are finishing concrete, but there's just not as many as there were 25 years ago. And it's a very costly. I mean, like this year alone, the driveway, the sidewalks, and the back porch, concrete and everything was like 21,000. And it's just one of those trades that they just pick their price because you really don't have many to choose from. Then there's some people out there that you don't want them to pour your concrete, all right? So it'll allow us to take a step back, really prep on some other things, and actually not only be cost effective to us, but it actually gives our students more time to do more things. Right now, they're just there, and they'll see the concrete poured, and they might move a trowel around real quick and work with that concrete contractor. But this lets them be right in there with, you know, in the thick of it. And it's not just the concrete. There's some other things. Finishing the drywall, it's an art. It'll allow them to do a little bit more. And other things throughout the house. It'll allow us to slow down and give the students that more time so I can prep them on it. I mean, concrete alone, if I had an entire week where we were just doing forms, just watching videos, just prepping before the concrete shows, and I just don't have it, you know? I mean, like right now, I'm telling you, I'm not saying we're behind, but we're gonna finish this house on the hair and our teeth. If I didn't have that time, I would have needed 2 to 3 weeks to be able to pour concrete with the students.
I wanna tell you something, listening to you talk, there's such a thing as grace. And grace is kindness when looking at all you've done and listen to you talk and mercy. And I think that you've walked through it and you've earned any kind of little bit of reprieve that could be found in some capacity. So I feel your passion. I think everybody up here feels for you, you know, and yeah.
Yeah, it will be done spring of 26. And I even told Ms. Morelli, yeah, I said, hey, if we're doing really good, you know, if we're done in May, we'll sell it in May and sell it, and we won't have to. I mean, right now we work around graduation because, I mean, let's face it, I see 45 kids. Those 45, I mean, graduation is the pivotal thing. I'm not going to, you know, so that's why we always do it after. You know, that is the most important things because my kids are graduating as well. All the other seniors are graduating. So if we can get done in May and do our opening house and have it on the market and it sells before graduation, great. There's always things that we can do in the community. You know, Mr. Marchese and his class has done some picnic tables this year and donated some picnic tables to the town site area, you know, as a way of giving back. You know, we've been in your area. Yep, a couple of roads have been dirty and muddy a few times, but this is our way to give back. They've got such a great park over there. So it'll give us an opportunity to do a few things. We could build a shed. We can, you know, do something else to fill our time. You know, so, but yeah, that will be the plan, is that it will be ready to sell at the end of the 25-26 school year. So.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
So that'll be on the approval for the June 11th meeting for Trojan Build 6 there. So thank you very much, sir. Yep. Go have a great night.
You too. Take care.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks.
Thank you.
He is impressive. Yes. So moving right along, I want to honor our time tonight. So I wish Tom was with us tonight because he had asked on the strategic plan work for me to reach out to some different schools. And so I did. Talked with Greenville Public on Battelle, and that's the Portrait of a Graduate. And the gentleman there was the superintendent. He spoke specifically about them tailoring the program to whatever your needs are. So it's you know, that they're not going to come in with a set agenda. They'll give you advice and guidance, but it's not a scripted program. And they enjoyed that work with them. They're right now moving from doing the Portrait of a Graduate, then going into their strategic plan work. Mesa Consolidated Schools used MASB a year ago. They wrapped up their work there. Father does a great job. What it brought was just, it was a typical strategic plan, so nothing earth-shattering. Lincoln Consolidated, now up there, they used Battelle for Kids, and that one was, they've got both their strategic plan and their portrait of a graduate completed there, and really enjoyed that process. The talking with, I think it was, I called up to, just drew a blank on the name because I'm looking at my notes here, to, second largest school district in the state right there. It's the other one that's been
Utica.
Thank you. I've got their stuff right here. So in talking with Utica, what they enjoyed most, and they used the company with Hanover Research, and what they really liked there was that with Hanover, they were able to get to a could do a portrait of a graduate through that work, but they really enjoyed that they were able to look at other districts that were similar to them, and so demographics, size, and what he enjoyed about that work was that he was able to, and that was a chief staff officer for that for Utica, was that they could build upon the great stuff they were doing and or learn about things that others were doing that were similar to them.
How's their size compared to ours?
Utica is 26,000 district school students.
26,000?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Warren and all that area up there.
Yep.
Wow.
North of Detroit.
Yep.
That's right.
They liked Hanover.
They liked Hanover. A lot of flexibility. They set theirs up to where their survey worked because of just the sheer size. They did school visits, and then they did worked with just all the parents and did questionnaires with parents rather than the community.
26,000 kids.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yep. So they went out and visited. One of the cool things, I took a couple of positive takeaways from talking with this gentleman that I'll be doing myself here, that it was a good conversation in general. So what we'd like to do, and it's I need your guys' help, knowing that we may or may not have Tom tomorrow night. He needed to go to Virginia and bring his wife home. And so he knew he would not be able to make tonight or the workshop tomorrow night. And Scott gets to be the acting. You want me to go ahead and call you acting president or just?
I'll be doing that next week, but covering for him for events this week.
Yeah, so tomorrow night, Scott is not going to be able to be with us because he gets to go and.
Firefighters graduation.
Firefighters, which is pretty cool right there. For the community college.
Oh, okay. He missed the Kojo.
So,
and I'm like, hey, you're gone. Like,
yeah.
Now I'm catching
up. So the question I have is, I'm trying to pull this up quickly, is do we, we put on the agenda for tomorrow night for it to, for a process to be approved. The administration is requesting that we use Hanover Research. Battelle for Kids, I'm getting to their costs quickly for you.
Oh, we didn't have that cost.
I know, that's why I'm getting it to you right here. Battelle for Kids is $88,000. And Hanover is $110,000.
Oh, so Hanover's more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Hanover's more there.
Much more comprehensive.
When it comes to the student, to the data digs, the other research that we can bring in. So the question is, do you want all seven board members here to approve the work or to prove the recommendation or a recommendation, I guess is the best way to say it, or what are your druthers here?
I suppose really you should.
I would like to have all the board here.
Only because, I mean, it takes four to do anything.
Yes.
And if anybody disagrees, well, to disagree with.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to pull that off the agenda.
Okay. We will put it back on once we've, yep. Fleet management, we're at a spot where I've asked for Larry and Larry. And thank you for laughing.
Larry squared.
thank you for laughing a little bit. I appreciated that one right there. I really,
and my other brother Darryl.
I'm so happy you did that. So I reached out to these two gentlemen, just as the president and vice president, to talk over fleet management a little bit. And so we've talked, and we're working through a final couple of items on the fleet management, because it's all about can we save some money here? Can we also continue to keep great services? Because transportation is working very well, okay? And we do not want to monkey that thing up. But same moment in time, we have some opportunities. So right now, we're look for more to come. I've got a list of about five things I need to do. And then I think we're going to be at a spot where we can bring forward a recommendation to you that would be right, that can work. Is there anything you guys would like to add to that?
Maybe we could just tell them a little bit about, unfortunately, Zorn's Garage, who services Mason, Ida, Dundee, and Ottawa Lake, is going to kind of go out of business. And one of the things that we've kind of been tossing around is that could we at some point maybe offer our services to benefit the whole county?
Yeah.
Just as
like a consortium.
As an option, as a, just like a consortium. So that's an option that we've been exploring whether or not it will work.
Well, we do know that organization can definitely handle that.
Yes, it definitely can. They can out there. The other part being, too, is how to use it as a way for us to generate some revenue, because they're right now in the way that it's designed with one vendor, they're going to take a fair amount of the revenue. And so we're looking at it from the lens of, well, do we keep it? What do we actually do? So I think there's some great opportunities for us as a system, with step one being take care of Monroe and then be in a position to where now we can start to branch out. Okay. And so, look for that. And that's why you haven't seen any kind of a contract in front of you, because we've just been kind of working through it there. And then,
it's a big deal.
It is. And it's kind of a cool one too, as we, that this will be the work we're doing right now, will really transform our transportation area for a long time to come. Because our other piece of the backstory why we're trying to do this is we need to start buying buses or doing leasing buses or doing something with
buses.
Just
sell
buses. We do. Yeah.
Right, but you got to keep a rotation going, which means you got to invest.
Our buses are older than
careful.
I just knew we sold
buses.
Who
is Methuselah? That's what I want to know.
Oh, no, a Greek.
We sold buses.
Yeah, but what we have to do is start looking at a rotation, and with that idea is then how do you make it so that it's not hitting, costing you so much? And so you try to find other mechanisms to help alleviate some of those costs. So we'll take and do a deep dive on that one later about what that can all look like, because it's, I think it's a, for myself personally, it's an extremely interesting area. So early learning program, on that one, we're just bringing that one to closure for you. Riverside would be a pre-K building, actually preschool. Orchard is going to be where Virtual will be at for the middle school, high school, and Custer will be where the elementary Virtual will be housed. Custer is already the school.
Say, wait a minute.
Custer is already the school that has the students.
Write that out for us.
So, Orchard is where middle school, high school go. We'll write it out. Yeah. So, you want to hop on with anything else here, please?
My throat's getting sore. The elementary Virtual will go to Custer, and those kids are currently enrolled through Custer with MSTEP testing and all of that, because we needed an actual school to house them in. There's, I believe, 21 students currently who are enrolled in the program, so it has shrank considerably from the days of COVID when we had close to 300 kids in that program. So most of the students that are in there have medical reasons, some behavioral types of issues that we're helping them to work through. Some students just based on we have one little girl who's training to be an ice skater, and so her trainer needs her during the school day. So the reasons that kids are there are just very dependent upon their own personal needs, as opposed to their parents, not wanting them in a traditional brick and mortar school because of, fear of COVID and other sicknesses and illnesses. So that has switched. So We feel very confident that that could just be moved very easily over to Custer. As we talked a little bit, Riverside will house 10 preschool programs for next year, and two of those, Darla, are coming from Orchard, and the ISD actually had three classrooms that they were using at Orchard for preschool purposes. So those three classrooms will no longer be used by the ISD, so the secondary virtual is going to move into those three classrooms, and that will sufficiently house them. So Courtney and, you know, some of those other, Courtney Bogdan and those names that you've heard in the past, they will now be located at Orchard.
So can you guys just type out a synopsis over that, just because I'm listening
sure.
to it, but I want to put the pieces together so the puzzle works.
Sure.
Looks cool.
Yep.
Thank you.
Do we still have the agreement with Lyceum, or is that gone by the wayside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gone by the wayside.
Yes, our partnership with Lyceum ended last summer.
Yeah, and so we're also excited because for Orchard, David, I didn't get a chance to tell you, but the goal is 100% graduation rate at Orchard, and so by pairing in the virtual and the teachers of virtual and Orchard teachers, and really creating that environment that he knows that that's where we want to be with that building, and so it's a great opportunity right there, and they're going to work to get that done. But it's exciting for where Riverside will be. Again, we're looking at 60 more 4-year-olds into our system next year. So it is wonderful. And then the last item I have for you is Monroe High School cafeteria kitchen redesign project. I believe that's been in your board briefs.
It has.
Wonderful. And so in working with Sodexo, and remember, too, that Cassie's, we've had to put a plan in place for the reduction of the cost, reduction of our fund balance, is to take and take that the high school cafeteria, or the commons area right there. One part will be is that the floor will be, there'll be a new floor put in that room. Okay, so that huge commons area. And then also, though, the kitchen itself is going to go through a redesign, too. And so what we're going to be asking you tomorrow night to approve is the scope of work that would be done through Sodexo. So that's our food service department group right there, where they would then go through and for $39,440, put the plan together with all the necessary requirements for the state, for marketing it so it can be put out to bid and taking part of it. Kohler's team is a part of it, only from the outside looking in, okay? And so we don't have them actively doing any work with this project, but because they are our architects, that they are still a part of all of this as just a consulting side.
Are they gonna cook food there, or are they gonna do the same service that the other schools are doing?
So I think it's still probably a heat up. I don't know you're talking about like scratch cooking right there.
I don't think
large industrial. Like, I don't.
There ain't nobody cooking from scratch.
No. So it's just a rework of the lines, the food service lines, and then even the kitchen area, the prep area, because they still have to prep out all the food. And so at the high school, they actually have a deli area. They have a lot more to what they do at the high school than any other building. So there's a lot more prep work. Yeah. So the high school has it's a large prep time there for them. So it's just a way to take and use that our fund balance there to bring that down and bring that building, as we're already doing a lot of renovations in that whole area, it almost as a culminating activity. This is not work that would. This is work that would happen next summer. So this is not anything for this year. So
what's the floor going to be like? The new floor? I guess I missed that.
I don't know what clean. I don't know what the product is that would be recommended there. Yeah. So
carpet.
Larry, better not be carpet. David, I sent an email out today, and it was directed to Andy, and it was directed to the board. And then I went back in, and I was like, it didn't send. So I'm like, it must be in draft. It's like nowhere. It didn't save as a draft. It didn't send, like, I searched everywhere looking for that email.
Did you press the lead?
No, I didn't.
I can tell you exactly what it was. It's because of the Arroyo Boreales.
It's
what?
Well, no,
but there are solar flares happening, though.
That's I know there's solar flares.
Anyway, so my two things on the list was on the motion for the communicable disease slides on page 119 and 130, where it has this, it says that the sex advisory board is the one that was involved in that, and we don't have a sex advisory board, so. So that will need to be looked at on that. In the board packet it said 119 and 130. And then
the motion would come from the board member then?
Huh?
We can read
remind us.
I don't think it's in the motion. I didn't read that in the motion. I only read it in the background. So I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying it could be in the motion, but I didn't think it was.
Yeah, I'll look at the background tomorrow.
Yeah. Because we don't have an advisory board. The other thing was on the policies that were put up for a first reading, here's how I address the email. Typically, when we go through policies, we get the policies and say, these are the policies that are up. We take them to the work session. Anybody please correct me if I've erred in my thoughts. We take them to the work session, we go through them, and then we look at those markups, corrections, or anything we want to do. Those are made, and then they're brought back to a final work session where everybody says yay or nay, and that can be relatively quick or not. Some we've thrown the whole policies out, never even made any changes. And then it goes to the board for a first reading, and then it comes to the board for a second reading. Well, the policies that we have up this time, we did not get, so step number one was done. We didn't get them before the work session. I think there were 13 of them that were addressed at the work session. There were a lot of discussion on that, and I had notes, and I know everybody else was making notes on the conversations on that. And they're now being put up for a first reading. So I'm trying to understand why we didn't follow the process this time as we had before.
So
how'd they come up for a first reading? I mean, we never really went through them because there's no way we could have read all those policies sitting here. I know I couldn't. I was trying, and I know I made everybody crazy me trying to get through them, but I couldn't.
So that. So first, like I said, when it came to getting those to you ahead of time, if we don't have them in our possession soon enough, then we'll cancel a policy meeting there because that was our problem. But number two, as far as the process of the two work sessions,
in the email said if the corrections at the first one were sufficient to move forward, we wouldn't need a separate work session.
Right. So if there's, we're at a spot where then if there's questions on the policy, well, no, going back to your question you have right there was I asked it to be put on there because I thought we were okay with it. But if you have questions on it and want to see it in another work session,
feel
we can.
Our job of the board is policy, and I didn't feel we gave them a totality of what they are considering. These are big policies, and these are major differences in changes of what the school system's going to do and how it's going. And these are big topic issues. And I would just like to know when it goes to the first reading that we've given our due diligence on it, because I finally then had time to literally go through and read them, and I had the stuff that was discussed that day and then the stuff I saw in there, because there was stuff in those policies that I was like, no way, because I didn't have time to read it till then.
Well, we can pull those off that way instead of having a full discussion on the first reading. We can have it in the work session, then we can bring it back. As I recall, there's nothing earth-shaking in those policies that would
nothing jumping out.
Take
stop
immediate
it.
Action. That's going to change anything.
Right. So but we then have to pull off that sex advisory board because that's related directly to the policy that's in there. That comes from the policy.
But the sex advisory.
Is that the whole conversation?
No,
that was in the policy?
No, the sex advisory. So when it had on there for the policy, it wasn't about the sex advisory board. The policy was referring to the changes that had taken place in regards to ability to talk about and/or advise on abortion.
It was the policy that Larry you addressed with me And you said, did we know that we were in violation of a policy by not having a board? And I'm like, well, no, because I didn't even know anything about any of it. So the reference in that would have been to the policy because we didn't have a board. And who, you know, how did, because it's in the policy. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to go home and actually read it. It's in the policy that there should have been a board, and there never was.
And that's why in our last...
How do we approve the board when we haven't approved the policy directs the board?
The policy's already been approved. They were just
sex
changing.
Sex education one?
Yeah. The only thing that was up for Neola on the change right there, too, had to do with the point of the abortion part.
No, abortion's a separate policy.
No, there was a specific line in there, too.
Yeah, but in going through this, you know, again, is the Board of Education authorizing sex education in school? We don't have to do that. There is no mandate by the state that we have to teach sex in schools. It's a decision that is made by the Board of Education. And it doesn't mean a previous board two boards ago. It means the board as we exist right now, because we don't have a functioning operating program. We identified that through the process. So the other part of it was on the other policy that was related to it. Maybe it was in this one. So anyway, I know you don't want to sit here while I go through all these, but we don't have...
So
this board, based on that paperwork that we were given, David, at the board meeting, when we asked about, okay, how is this mm-hmm. committee supposed to run? And they handed us out that one that said, that's when we first found out that there should be a advisory board if the school wants to teach sex education in the schools. And in that, it says if you want to.
So, but you're asking something totally different. So we're asking that we have the sex advisory board process established, which was in the board policy, and so here's how it's laid out.
Yeah, that's in the policy. That's
but you're saying. Asking a whole different question to be brought forward in front of the board is about do we teach sex ed or not?
If we and I asked this question the last time we were here, because I said, if we vote on a policy, are we voting on the changes or the totality of the policy? Because I said there are policies that other board members prior to me passed that I never would have passed. Yes. And the answer was, we're voting on the totality of the policy. So if we vote on sex education right now, we are the board of record that is saying we want to teach sex education in school. Isn't that how you all explained it to me that day?
Well, whether you're approving it as a policy change or... Go ahead.
The policy is the policy. We're not approving curriculum. Just because we have policy that mandates if we decide to choose sex ed, this is how we will govern that process. Just because we have the policy, it is not tethered to any sort of curricular decision. There's no like trigger which then requires us to teach sex ed.
Well, actually there is, because the law states that if you want to teach sex education, mm-hmm. it's very descriptive on how you do it, what you want to do, and it's based on the advisory board. But this board is the one that approves that. Even in sex education policy that we have here, it says, in accordance with Michigan statute, the Board of Education authorizes instruction in sex education. So if we vote for this, and you may want to, I'm not saying anybody mm-hmm. should or shouldn't, I'm just saying that I don't think we gave these due diligence.
Really what you're looking at is, when you're looking at the policy, any kind of a change, you're looking at
a policy that's not mandated by the state.
Why don't I suggest that if we have a question on it, we're going to review some other policies, and let's throw that in and take it off the docket tomorrow, and then we can have full discussion. I don't think we want to spend 20 minutes tomorrow discussing.
I think we should pull them on.
Just for clarification, we're talking about putting out the first reading only.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And bringing it back on the workshop or whatever.
Because the abortion one, the way it's worded, it only affects the Board of Education. the way the language is worded.
Well, the problem, I suppose, is even further if we do adopt that, as you point out, we usually don't do curriculum, so it would be an enabling piece of legislation, law, whatever not, and then we would have no probably parameters or previews to say this is a curriculum, because that's not our job.
Right.
That's, and I think that's the point you may want to bring up, yeah. So
maybe
we can talk
policy.
About that at,
yeah.
in our policies.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll bring that all back to you. That's all I have for you today.
All right, can I get a motion to adjourn? Whoa, easy, let me get it out there.
Quick draw on the draw.
Yeah, is there a second?
Nobody seconds my motion.
Support.
Oh.
All right. This meeting is adjourned at 7:50. See you back here in less than 24 hours.